Clock on the desk tells me it's 9 o'clock, so let's go ahead and get started. My notes show Martin, Sandy, Fay Long, and I didn't catch the name from the European Commission.
Yes, my name is Zbigniew Zak.
Okay, Zbigniew. All right. We start out with agenda paper 9, April.
We've received two submissions relating to levies raised on productions PP&E. The fact pattern of both is that an entity pays an annual levy that's linked to the existence of PP&E at a given date. And the submitters ask how to account for the debit that arises from recognizing the liability. You'll remember the original proposal when the levies ED was published was to recognize the debit as an expense. Many respondents, however, thought that the debit should be recognized as an asset for the reasons that are given in paragraph 23 of this paper. Others noted that IAS 37 doesn't address accounting for the debit, and consequently, the interpretation itself does not address accounting for the debit. IFRIC 21 is effective from 1st of January 2014, and so reporting in accordance with the interpretation is still at an early stage, and it's also not mandatory in Europe until 2015. We conducted outreach and had 20 responses expressing varied views about accounting for the debit in the example submitted, but there were some common themes in the views expressed. The interpretation doesn't address accounting for the debit, and consequently some respondents thought that the application of IFRIC 21 shouldn't affect the accounting for the accounting approach used for the cost. The accounting and method applied will depend on a detailed analysis of the relevant facts and circumstances and a comparison of that analysis with the detailed guidance and other standards. We were surprised, I think, however, that some respondents think that a service provider cannot recognize production overheads as part of inventory unless they produce physical inventory. And we noted several points of similarity between the levy and the submissions and the fixed production overheads that are described in paragraph 12 of IS 2. There's also wording in that standard, which is described in the paper, which is applicable to the costs of service providers that wouldn't be attributable to items of physical inventory. And consequently, the staff think that inventories recognized by service providers need not relate to physical inventories. We're not saying necessarily that we think inventory is the appropriate place for the debit in this case, but we think there's a larger point that service providers could have inventory even if they don't have physical inventory. However, we did note throughout that there are varied views on the accounting for these costs depending on the specific facts and circumstances that were received during outreach and in more general, the sort of consultation that was done in the development of the interpretation as a whole. Now finally, we assessed the submission against our agenda criteria on page 13 of the paper. But we recommend that this topic shouldn't be added to the Interpretation Committee's agenda for a variety of reasons. It's not our practice to give case-by-case advice on individual fact patterns. We think it's unlikely that addressing an individual type of levy will identify a more general principle that could be applied to the costs associated with different types of levies. IFRIC 21 points to other standards to resolve whether costs are recognized as an expense or part of the cost of asset in accordance with another standard. And we also think it's unlikely that the Interpretations Committee could achieve consensus on the outcome of any assessment with respect to these costs in an efficient manner. So have you got any comments? The suggested wording for a draft tentative agenda decision is on page 15. So do you agree with the recommendations and do you have any suggestions about the wording?
Comments? Andrew?
I do agree with the recommendation because I think trying to get to an answer on the questions posed might represent a triumph of hope over experience, given the history here. That said, I think although the submissions related to a particular jurisdiction, a particular type of levy, and indeed a particular industry, there does seem to be a broader question here because I think the situation where before IFRIC 21, situations where things like property taxes on a factory building would have been included in inventory, under IAS 2, and therefore allocated to inventory and cost of sales across the production period over time. In other words, for IFRIC 21 will now say recognize the credit on a particular date. Does IFRIC 20, the interaction between IFRIC 21 and IAS 2 in that type of situation, I think, is more widespread and is causing some confusion. So it would be nice if we could give some guidance on that interaction, but given the history, that might prove hard to accomplish.
Kaz?
You're not on.
Hold on, I'm having trouble with your mic here. Okay. There we go, now you're on.
Okay. So I agree with staff analysis and support staff recommendation not to take this into agenda. And as staff said, we discussed this, and then IFRIC 21 is silent about the debit side. That means it's very difficult to change in the practice in before that IFRIC 21 is implemented for the debit side. So I agree with the staff recommendation. The only comments in the last sentence paragraph in the agenda decision, I agree with this statement is true. The service provider can recognize inventory even they don't have a physical inventory, but I'm not sure that's the question submitter raised. They raise that they don't book inventory, but they can book levy for the inventory. I think that's what I read at the submission. In that case, it's very difficult to just book recognize inventory just for levy portion. Even the other fixed costs or costs is recognized as an expense or due to the revenue is recognized over time. So I'm not sure this is help for that provider adding this sentence and this paragraph. I'm not sure.
In other words, you're saying it's kind of a gratuitous comment that it's not necessary?
Could be.
Yeah. Okay, Bruce and then Tony.
Thanks. I agreed with the stop position. We shouldn't take it over. The only comment I had was just in the agenda wording, as was the last paragraph that didn't need to be physical inventory, so I didn't really feel that needed to be in there.
I think the reason why the staff has put it in there is because I think, perhaps in the submitter's view, it's perhaps the most important thing in the tentative agenda decision, because I think there has been very strong resistance, particularly among the auditing profession, to the idea of having inventories unless they're physical inventories.
I agree, I could see the issue. I guess what worried me was it's almost a bit of a throwaway comment, and I think it's a bigger issue than a throwaway comment. So my only concern was just that I think that last paragraph could raise more questions than be there in terms of what we're addressing.
So is it the case that the Interpretations Committee are undecided as to whether or not service providers could have inventories?
I guess we haven't. What I'm trying to say is I don't think we've had that discussion.
Right.
I'm not saying we wouldn't get to that view, but I think that, you know, what we're commenting on here is, do we think that we should reject this as an agenda decision? I'm saying yes. I think that second point is almost a second question.
It opens a wider issue.
It does, and I think either we've got to decide to discuss it, or I would say in terms of this one, I would leave out the last paragraph.
Tony and then John.
I'm in the same place as Bruce. I agree that we shouldn't take it on. I think the interpretation itself is clear. It doesn't address the debits, and I don't think, therefore don't think we should pick it up. I think the debits should be dealt with under the relevant standard, whatever that standard might be. I also agree that we should delete the final paragraph. I'm not sure it's as clear as the staff suggest, because I look at the definition of inventories, and it does say assets in the form of materials or supplies to be consumed. And I think there's a debate we could have, but I'm just not persuaded immediately that the answer is as clear as the staff suggests. So I feel that we ought to take those last two sentences out.
John?
I mean, I actually don't think this is an IFRIC 21 issue at all. If you paid this levy on the 1st of January, you would still have a question about whether the debit was an expense or whether it was inventory or some other form of asset. So this is actually not an IFRIC 21 question at all. I don't see why IFRIC 21 or the introduction of IFRIC 21 has even raise this issue, because this issue must have existed before IFRIC 21 was actually brought in. What do you do with the debit? This is really a question about the capitalization of production costs to service inventory, so it's an IAS 2 question. I think there is a potential conflict in IAS 2 between the definition of inventories and certain paragraphs which are referred to in the paper, which seem to imply that you can actually have inventories that relate to service, either because you've incurred costs which relate to the provision of service in the future. So I do think there are paragraphs in IAS 2 which would suggest that, which would support the staff contention that you can have inventories related to services, but the definition of inventories doesn't seem to cover those particular items. My view is that's the real issue that's been raised here, and that to me it would be worth taking that on, because I think we could add clarification to IAS 2, because I think there is diversity in practice on the treatment of service inventories.
Okay, I show Laurence, Patrick, and then Reinhardt.
I agree with the comments that have been made. The first one, that it is not an IFRIC 21 issue. It is an IS 2 or an IS 11 issue, IFRS 15 issue, about what do you do about those operating costs that you incur at the beginning of a year that would you use to produce services during the year. And can you recognize an asset in such a case? And so I disagree with the staff comments that the fact that this would be just dealing on a case-by-case basis addressing the issue. It is a broad issue. I can think of maintenance. If you incur maintenance at the beginning of a year, large maintenance that is not capitalized, how do you account for it? So it's not just levies. I also agree with the view that there is a question of whether service providers can have inventories, particularly when this inventory takes the form of a levy, and it will only be a levy. And so we would need to debate that. So at the moment I'm undecided whether I see if we take it on, this would be probably a broader project than just a question that is being raised. So I don't know whether it is a board priority here or not. But if we don't go that route, then okay, let's go for an agenda decision. But there are certain aspects of the agenda decisions I disagree with.
Certain aspects you disagree with?
Yeah, to say it's don't deal with it on a case-by-case basis, the issue about recognizing inventory for service providers, that's the thing.
Those are the ones you disagree with?
Yeah.
What's left?
I agree that other standards apply, except that we don't know how to apply those standards in the particular cases I've just mentioning. That ideally, normally, IFRIC 21 should not affect how the debit is accounted for, but this is not the reality, because IFRIC 21 did change the practices, because IFRIC 21, before IFRIC 21, in many jurisdictions, the levy was accrued over time, and so you had an expense recognized over time. So the fact that indeed you are changing the accounting for IFRIC 21 raises plenty of questions, and how you apply then your accounting, as I said, how to account for operating costs that are uneven during a year.
I'm going to bring in Philippe on board member privilege in a moment here, but I seem to remember the board at least tiptoeing around this issue back when they did the 2005 set of what we called the improvement standards. And at that time, somebody at the table, I don't recall who, said, isn't this a cost accounting issue? And it was like a vampire had come into the room, you know. And that was pretty much, as I recall, the end of that discussion. But Philippe?
First, my starting point would be, first, a levy is not tax, is not income tax. We decided, you decided it is an expense which is not under the category income tax. So it is another kind of expense. And so let's take a parallel with insurance cost. If I have an insurance policy on my factory, if I pay the insurance premium on day one of the year, traditionally we would think that it is a prepaid expense, that we would recognize the expense over the period covered by that. So if a levy is an expense, why is it such a difference from an insurance expense? That could be recognized as a prepaid expense provided it covers a certain defined period. Right. Now, seeing that it goes into the cost of inventory, like many, I feel that the definition of inventory in IS2 is a bit hard from that perspective, because it is not materials or supplies to be consumed. And we use in the past, when you had a services provider, to say it's rather IS11. More, and you have work in progress, because it spans more than a short period of time, so you have something in progress. Today, IS11 is gone, we have IFRS 15, and we have the cost incurred in a contract, so-called contract asset, to recognize, but you need to have a contract with the customer. And here, you don't have a contract with the customer. You don't have it under IS11, you don't have it under IFRS 15. So, to say it's work in progress as a service contract, I think it's a bit hard as well, because we don't have a contract. So I'm not very comfortable with saying it's work in progress. I'm not comfortable saying it is inventory under the traditional definition of IS2. So what can it be then? It is an expense which is prepaid, because it covers a future period. Do you get any benefits in exchange? Well, that's the question. Are there any benefits in exchange for a levy? Either are known that you can identify it is an expense, and I see no reason why it would be deferred or amortized, recognized over a period. If you can think of some benefits, maybe not very specific, but some benefits in exchange for that, maybe you can say this amount which I paid on day one represents some economic benefits to be received over the next period. Then I can amortize on the cost. But absent any identifiable benefits, so a kind of levy which is very near a tax, very close to a tax, but doesn't fall in definition of a tax because it's not income tax, I'm not so sure whether you can amortize it.
Okay, I've got Patrick, Reinhardt, and I'm going to go to the phones before I give people a second chance to come in on the topic. Patrick?
Thank you. I agree with many things that have been said. I think it's important to bear in mind that it's linked to a change of practice related to the application of AFRIC 21, as mentioned by Laurence. And the key question to know whether you can recognize an asset according to IS2 is really whether you expect benefits from a levy or from a tax that is different from income tax. And the issue is wider than the one presented here, because if this is the question, then you might have a similar question related to bank levies, and they are huge. Because many countries have put such levies in place in the recent years. So I would like to invite the interpretation committee to think about the last paragraph of this draft agenda decision, because I think for the moment it raises many problems, because you didn't discuss it, so it would be a problem to write it as it is right now. And if you want to address the problem, you have to be aware that it might be wider than it seems in the beginning.
Okay. Reinhardt.
was going to make very similar comments to what others have made. I agree with the staff proposal. I'm also very uncomfortable with that last paragraph because my thoughts were very consistent with what Philippe said in terms of the classification of this cost as inventory in these particular circumstances. With respect to the comment that was made that IFRIC 21 shouldn't change the accounting for the debit, we've seen some instances and had some discussions about whether, in fact, that is always the case, because you may have an instance where you have the obligating event under IFRIC 21 prior to the actual cash payment. So the question is, can you have an unpaid prepaid? We felt very uncomfortable with that. So long way of saying I would agree with removing that last paragraph from the draft agenda decision.
Okay, let's go to the phones. Martin, anything to add?
Yeah, I mean, on the specific issues raised, I agree with the staff recommendation. However, I mean, the overall topic could be a wider one, and it could be worthwhile to have an additional project or whatever, but probably not specifically to the issue raised here for the interpretation committee. And I also would recommend to remove the last paragraph in the tentative agenda decision.
Okay, Sandy?
I guess I agree with what's been said. I mean, as it relates to IFRIC 21, I think the paper, I agree with the conclusion, but it seems as though we're taking a different issue. And I don't know that we have all the information to conclude on that here.
Hey, Long?
I agree with the tentative agenda decision. And I think assessing whether those costs, these costs, the cost should be recognized as an expense or as part of the cost of an asset recognizing in accordance with another standard. It's a complex process based on a detailed understanding of the entity's individual facts and the circumstances in the terms of the enabling legislation that imposed the levy. I also have the concern on the last sentence on in inventory of service, because what staff seems to suggest is one way of interpreting IAS 2, paragraph 12 and 19. I'm not sure whether the standard is that clear.
Okay. Mikhail, you haven't come in yet, so.
Yes, I agree as well to take out the last part about the IS2 and the inventory, but I would say that for me, this is, in this example, then it's a prepaid expense for sure. And I think it's wise what you said here before, that you should not discuss the debit side, because that is, of course, dependent on so many different things. And in this case, in my mind, this the key here is that it's an annual levy that will come at a certain recurring time. And looking at the business performance and the reporting, obviously we want to match the cost with the revenue and have a result that is reasonable distributed over a year. So dependent on that authority or whatever would like me to pay four times a year or one time a year or whatever, that in my mind should not impact the result distribution over the year in this particular case then.
Okay. I've got John, Tony, Laurence, and then I'm going to try and call it.
I was just going to come back on the comments that it's a prepayment. I don't think it's a prepayment at all. I think it's completely different than insurance, which Philippe referred to. Because when I pay on the first day of the year for insurance, I actually receive a service over the whole year from the supplier. I receive insurance coverage. When I pay a levy, you may or may not receive something from the government in exchange. If you receive nothing in exchange, you don't have a prepayment just because the levy relates, just because I don't have to pay the levy till the first day of the next year. It's more in the nature of, similar to what Laurent said, it's more like a lumpy cost. It's more like repairs and maintenance I incur on the first day of the year. I wouldn't say if I paid repairs and maintenance on the first day of the year, I wouldn't set it up as a prepayment on that day. I would treat it as an expense, and then I may or may not allocate it to my production over the period of the year. I think the issue at hand here is how you allocate these costs to the units of production or the units of service, but I certainly don't think the asset is a prepayment.
That allocation usually or frequently takes place, again, not to get into cost accounting too far, as part of a standard cost system, doesn't it? So it's not even an explicit debit and credit. It gets buried in the system. Tony?
I was going to make the same point that I don't see it as a prepaid because by their nature, levies are non-reciprocal in most cases. So you're not getting a service or anything over the year. I can see circumstances where you might say, well, what you've got by paying the levy is the right to do this or the right to do that, maybe in some circumstances, but I struggle to see it as a prepayment. The other thought that I had listening to the conversation around the table is it's demonstrated, to go right back to what Andrew said at the beginning, this is a very wide issue because we've got into questions of, is it accounting for the debit that comes out of a levy? Is it accounting for whether or not a service provider can have inventory? How do we allocate lumpy costs that don't obviously give rise to an asset, to units of production, and so on and so on? And so I'm not persuaded that that's something that we can take on because it's a very broad issue, potentially covering a wide number of standards. Because we talked about inventories, but you think, well, could some of these debits sometimes go be intangible assets or PP&E? My concern is that the whole thing is very broad, and I think we would struggle with it.
Okay, Laurence, last call.
Yeah, similarly, I think it's we should not restrict to an issue only for service providers. It's the issue for all companies, including those that have inventory, because if you don't have sufficient inventory at the time you recognize the liability for those levies, you're not going to allocate all the amount to the inventory that is in place. So you still have the same problem as Tony has been saying about allocating it. So, and I do agree with Tony as well that you wrote in your paper, April, that there are various things you need to consider, intangible assets, PP&Es, it's something you need to incur to have the thing operating and so on and so on, or if you don't incur it, what happened to the asset? So it is indeed a very big issue, difficult one.
Okay, let's see if I can phrase some questions here. I heard significant comment that the last piece, the one that refers to inventories of service providers, in the context of the decision about the debit arising from 21, it doesn't belong. And I didn't hear anybody support it in particular, so I think the consensus of the group is to take that out. I'm seeing heads nod around the table. Anybody on the phone have a different view?
No.
No.
Okay. So we'll take that out. The second question, I guess, then goes to the agenda decision as written and amended. With the exception of Laurence, I heard general support for that. Again, with the having removed that the offending piece, with the exception of Laurence, I heard support. And I'm seeing heads nodding around the table with the exception of Laurence. On the phone, any objections? I heard.
No.
Your objection is noted.
No.
A suggestion?
Yeah, it is a suggestion. So the last paragraph was a problem. It's also the second sentence of the paragraph that says, in the light of this interpretation concluded that it would be unlikely that it reached consensus on how the cost should be recognized in this particular case. It also noted that it would not be efficient to give case-by-case guidance on individual fact patterns. I don't see that sentence here.
I know you think it's a broader issue, and I see that.
And that's going to be my third question.
Can I just say that I think the benefit of that sentence is, and it was put in because the feeling is if we looked at this example, this individual case, we would then be asked about every single possible levy that was out there. So that rather than viewing this process as a sort of a technical inquiries where you take your specific example and ask for guidance, we're saying we're not interested in the specific example because we do look at the sort of the broader ramification of it. So I think the case-by-case thing is not really so much the fact that we don't want to look at individual cases. It's the fact that we don't want to base our investigations on a specific fact pattern that would never apply to anyone else or would have no ramifications for anyone else. If that makes sense. Obviously it doesn't.
Well, okay. So I'm getting, did I go to the phones?
You did.
Okay, so the record will show that we support with one objection the agenda decision as amended. Now, that leads us to the question of accounting for debits more generally. I take the point of some people, I don't really care where the credit came. It could have come from cash. And as Jim Leisenring has said, we're real good at getting one side of the entry when it involves cash. We know where the credit went. And the debit is always the issue. This is a narrower question, I think, than just accounting for all debits, I hope. But I now ask the committee if there's any support for April to bring back another paper that says, I'm going to take, I think it was Tony's or John's expression, lumpy debits. It will be a new term of art.
I'll probably retire within 10 years, you know.
Well, since you and I are roughly the same age, I think my horizon is a little shorter, but not much. Support for April bringing back a paper on lumpy debits.
Is in the context, of inventory of service provider, inventory of service providers?
No, I think it has to be in the context at a minimum of IAS's 2, 16, and 38. You can't stop it with inventories. Then somebody's going to say, well, what happens if it's a machine? And then, well, what happened? Anybody, show of hands, anybody who wants to do that?
Wayne, what would be the outcome? Would it be an interpretation or would it be a narrow scope amendment or?
That I don't know the answer to that question yet. We have to get over whether, I don't know what the output would be. We'd have to explore it more. We obviously don't have enough in front of us today to explore it, even in the case of IAS 2, so we need to think more about it. But any support for doing that? Everybody said that's the question. Do you want to take it on or not? John's microphone wasn't on, but his comment was not unless you can narrow it. Andrew?
Couldn't it be narrowed to lumpy debits that are productive in nature in some way, rather than lumpy debits that might be directly related to getting an asset ready for its location and condition under 16 or 38? So I think that it's IAS 2, once you've decided it's a production overhead, then it does say allocate it to units of inventory based on a normal level of production, and that is an allocation model. I think if it's an IAS 16 lumpy debit, but it's in the development phase of an asset, that's actually quite straightforward.
So you'd say a project on debits that potentially go to inventory would be
well put.
I'm worried about productive debits.
Generalized to
Okay, I'm not seeing a lot of support. Anybody on the phone want to do this?
Weird enough.
Martin, I didn't get it clear. Did you say no?
I said no, because I guess it's too far away from the original request. I guess it is worthwhile to spend some time on, but probably not in the, well, ordinary way, and that's not our task.
Okay. Sandy?
I guess I don't have an appetite. It seems like I had exactly the same thought that you did. How do you define a productive debit, right? It seems as though much of this is about the fact that people don't like the answer. Is it that the guidance is completely unclear, or they just don't want to book the expense in a lumpy way? So I guess I'm a no.
Okay, I didn't hear any yeses. Laurence, are you a yes or no? Okay. All right, we won't do that then. We done, April?
I think so. Thank you.
Oh, Patrick, yeah.
Yeah. It's striking to see that members of the committee were divided as to whether it is prepayment or not. And as I said earlier, the amounts at stake are quite significant. So I would have thought that it might be useful to refer this topic to the ISB, just to let them know that we were submitted with an issue, and we feel that potentially the underlying amounts are big and might be worth thinking providing a technical answer to the question.
Well, from my recollection, I didn't hear anyone on the committee say they thought this was a prepayment. Philippe expressed the view that it might conceivably in some situations be a prepayment. Mikel, did you?
I said prepaid cost, or so I have said it correctly. Prepaid cost, yes.
And I guess the issue then would be, if you're going to put it on the balance sheet, it has to meet the definition of an asset. And Philippe, I think, correctly said the only way it can meet the definition of an asset is if there's a benefit. What do you see as the benefit?
Yeah, the benefit, I heard the comments there, and I think that, as I said then, I mean, the benefit for this kind of thing then is obviously that I can have, in this case, my machine, whatever it is. I'm allowed to continue to use my machine in my production, if that is a property or whatever. And as I said, it could. I cannot see why it should be different in my result depending on when this is debited to me, or what kind of how often this authority would like to ask me for money. If I would pay this every quarter, I would have one result. If I would pay it once a year, I would have another result. But if it is so that I will continue with my operation, I mean, this is an important piece of my operation, this piece of machine. I cannot, so to speak, replace that with something else in the next quarter. I will continue use this over the year, and I have another annual level next year. So it's just, I mean, it could be so that they want to have the money end of December. I would, of course, accrue for that expense through the year. Now they wanted to have the money 1st of January. I cannot see that I should have a different result in the profit and loss due to that fact that we have changed one day in the payment.
So
because it's still connected to my services or my production or whatever to use this kind of equipment then.
So you're saying that it's analogous to a license?
Yeah, I mean it's connected to some kind of time. I mean, it says that I should pay it January 1st, and it is valid for 1 year. Then I have to pay it again. So it's connected to a time period. I mean, if it would be different if it was so that to have this machine, like in some countries, to have a car, you have to pay a fee to get the car. but you don't pay that again later on. It's not connected to the time period. So in my mind, this is an obvious connection to a time period, and it's connected to the output that I have during that time period of this asset. So in my mind, this is an overriding principle, is to match cost and revenue.
Thank you. You said the magic word. Let me make a proposal. I would propose that April, who's still in the room, draft a note from the committee to the conceptual framework project explaining this issue and pointing out that it is yet another tension between the matching principle and the definition of an asset. Miguel has, I think, quite articulately expressed the matching principle. And frequently that runs head on into whether or not the debit meets the definition of an asset. And so I would suggest that we forward that on to the conceptual framework team as an example, because they already know this issue exists. But live examples can't hurt. Is that acceptable? Okay, I'm seeing head nodding. Any objections on the phone?
No.
No.
Okay, that's what we'll do.